Please welcome to the program. Great pleasure to have him with us, senior MLB writer for Sports Illustrated, Mr. Ben Ryder. Hello, Ben. Yeah. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
Well, first of all, let's obviously start where we should start, the Toronto Blue Jays on a bit of a heater. I was looking at the standings. The American League East, you know, remember last year at this time, it was sort of a dog's breakfast, not the strongest division in baseball, and the reason why the Jays were kind of in it, their run differential, you know, allowed them to go and make the moves they made and the division being sort of weak. Not the case this year. I mean, you got three teams fighting for it, and an outside chance for the Yankees, maybe a fourth, who've just won their third in a row. Looks like the most competitive division in baseball this year.
I think it does, for sure. Obviously, the Rays have had their troubles. But one thing that stands out about the standings when you look at them are the run differentials, right? I mean, I'm sure you guys up in Toronto heard all about run differentials last year with the Blue Jays. How they were kind of, at this point last year, a much better team than their record suggested. Well, you know, at this point, they're kind of playing to that run differential. They've outscored opponents by 85 runs. You know, the Red Sox are about 77 runs ahead of opponents, and the records are reflecting that, obviously. 12 games above 500 for the Blue Jays, 14 games above 500 for the Red Sox. So this isn't a case where these teams are kind of underperforming. They both have a pedal to the metal so far, and they should do the same for the rest of the season.
Now, let me ask you something, Ben. You talk about run differential, and that was really when the Jays were, I think, what were they, 50 and 51 when they made those trades? And they made those trades last season based on run differential. When you consider where the Toronto Blue Jays are, plus 85, Cleveland's plus 95, the only team that's better than them in the American League, Boston just behind them there, as you said, plus 77 run differential. When you consider starting pitching, specifically this year that the Jays weren't getting last year at this time. It started to come on in the second half. But when you consider starting pitching and you consider where things are at in the American League East, and you also take into consider run differential, is there anybody better poised, unless Boston or Baltimore do something significant? Is there anyone better poised to be able to make a run at the postseason than the Toronto Blue Jays?
I don't think so. And I think it does come down to the starting pitching. I mean, obviously they've been very fortunate to some degree, and that they've had very few health problems so far, right, guys? I mean, you look at this staff, aside from the big five, only Drew Hutchinson has been asked to make a start, and he's made two. You know, that's an extreme degree of health. Very fortunate, obviously, and they'll have to deal with the Aaron Sanchez question coming up here. But no, you know, I don't think that the Red Sox starting pitching, and certainly not the Orioles starting pitching, is anywhere close to the Blue Jays. And the good news for Toronto is when you look at this market, guys, with the trade deadline about 10 days away, it's just hard to envision a really big impact starter changing teams, at least without forcing the team acquiring him to really damage themselves in the process by giving up major league talent, if not prospect talent. So, yeah, I mean, I think going forward, especially pitching-wise, you know, the Blue Jays have a good reason to feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one of those question marks, though, that we're all kind of sitting here waiting, and the stance has softened recently because of his performance, is what do you do with Aaron Sanchez? You know, and I think when you consider the fact Marcus Stroman struggled over the last month and a half, he was terrific yesterday, going 8-1 run. And then you consider the fact that the rest of rotation appears to be eating the innings they normally eat. R.A. Dickey's been consistent. Jay Happ's been terrific. Estrada's back. Then you start to consider, well, hey, listen, how important is Aaron Sanchez to the rotation as opposed to the bullpen? The great debate continues to rage. Wanted to get your thoughts.
Right. Obviously, it's a very tough thing to remove a guy who's an all-star, who has an ERA about 2.9 from the rotation. But, you know, I really think that the history of baseball has shown us that the Blue Jays should stick to their guns here for the long-term health of the pitcher and for the long-term health of the organization. Look, it's kind of a fudgy type of thing. Like, there's no guarantees here. Maybe he'd be fine going forward. But there's a great body of experience, a great body of work that shows that when you have a 24-year-old guy who hasn't really thrown more than 100 innings in his professional career, already is at 125. If you're going to push him up to 160 or 180, you know, there seems to be a great chance this will be very injurious to him going forward. Now, I know it's obviously you want to keep him in there based on his performance, but I think, you know, as hard as it's going to be, that they're going to have to move him to the bullpen, at least for a while. Maybe you can conserve his innings and then, put him back in high leverage situations when you need him. But I don't think you can just ride him out for the rest of the way. That's too big an innings jump. And, the chances are he's going to get hurt going forward. That's not what you want.
But listen, if he pitches until August, let's say he gets to 160 and pitches into August, 160, 170, and they shut him down and send him to the bullpen, you consider the fact he's going to get into a bunch of games, considering the fact the bullpen has been as terrible as it has been, he's going to get into games. So he'll get an inning here, an inning there. You got 20 games, 20, maybe 25 games at the end of the season. Then let's say he's got a long postseason run. There's a real opportunity that he's going to get up past 200 innings anyway.
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, it's also valuable. You could use him as kind of a bullpen weapon, right? Like a high leverage weapon. Throw him one inning at a time when you need him most, as opposed to, six or seven every time out. Like, I'm telling you, we've seen this before. We saw it with the Washington Nationals, obviously a couple years ago, a decision. They're still probably wondering if they made the right one when they shut down Steven Strasburg. He was coming off Tommy John, which is a different situation than Sanchez. But, you got to protect these guys if you're these organizations. Look at what happened to Matt Harvey right now, right? I mean, the Mets obviously went with the pitcher's wishes last year, kind of went with what the fans wanted. Blew past his innings limit. I know it's abstract, but look, now he's out for the rest of the season. It's more than anecdotal. There's a great history of this, and I do think that, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins will probably have no other choice but to at least put him in the bullpen in the near future.
Ben, obviously that would leave a hole in the starting rotation. What are some of the names you're hearing connected to the Blue Jays?
Right, not too many. I mean, that's the other issue.
That's not good, Ben.
Hey, man.
No,
thanks.
That's the other issue. I mean, you hear Rich Hill a lot, but first of all, the competition for Rich Hill, the late bloomer, is great. So you're probably going to have to give up more than you want for him. And second of all, Rich Hill, has not really been able to pitch recently. He's had a few blister problems, things like that. So the other problem with the Blue Jays is right now, at least the way the organization is set up, is you don't see that kind of high-level prospect talent necessarily that would bring back somebody of note. Like you look at the top 100 list, they've got some guys in the 90s, Sean Reed, Foley, Anthony Alford. They don't really have those guys that's going to bring back a huge name. Not that they trade in the division, but, they're not going to make a surprise deal for someone like Chris Archer or something like that. I frankly think the greatest probability is that we will see, them put a lot of importance and put a lot of their season riding on Drew Hutchinson coming back. And, kind of, I know you guys have seen a lot of.
Well, him. Yeah, but did you see his last start in Buffalo? I don't know if you followed it, but he went 2 1/3. He was terrible.
I know. No, I mean, obviously, this is a guy who one night looks like, a genuine ace, and then the next night goes 2 1/3. But look, I mean, some point, the reality is the reality here.
Yeah. Well, I it's funny because it's a mug's game trying to figure it out because no one knows. Shapiro, as you know, holds everything as close to his chest as possible. So we'll see what happens. And I know when trades come, not very many times do you see blockbusters like Troy Tulowitzki last year. And I know Mike Trout is no Troy Tulowitzki, but you wrote a great article at SI, The Perfect Catch, Angels Trout Turning Everybody into Believers. What are the chances that for some reason Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim decide, listen, we're not doing him any favors, we are prospect poor, we are going nowhere fast, let's turn this thing around in a hurry and trade maybe the best outfielder in baseball?
Right, well, this is more of a thought experiment than anything else, and I've realized that Anaheim fans are pretty horrified by the idea, and that's one reason it might not happen, right? I mean, Billy Epler, the GM, and Arte Moreno, the team's owner, they don't want to be the guys who traded Babe Ruth, 100 years later. He's obviously the greatest player in the league. Getting real value for him would be impossible. But if there's one situation in which a guy like Mike Trout might be traded, it's what's going on in Anaheim right now, all right? He has yet to win a playoff game in his career. He's got 4 years left. Things are going very poorly there. They have the worst farm system in baseball, one of the worst farm systems that people have seen in years. They have few other assets to trade to build around Mike Trout. They might have had one in Garrett Richards, the number one starter, but he blew out his elbow in May. They just don't have much going for them, except for Mike Trout, right? I'm not saying that you give him away for nothing. I'm not sure you give him away for even a lot. But if you get a huge package, and the one that I proposed in the story is from the Nationals, which was kind of lead to the terrific scenario of Mike Trout playing next to Bryce Harper. But if you get four top 50 prospects, which the Nationals have, starting with Lucas Giolito and Trey Turner, and maybe another arm, like a five-player deal, kind of a Herschel Walker-type deal for Mike Trout, you have to consider it, given where the Angels are right now. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Wait, hey, I'm sure you're really popular in Anaheim with that article this morning, Ben.
I'm not, you know, but I would,
they hate me there.
I would think that perhaps I'd be, you know, more popular than, you know, a team that's just going down the tubes right now.
Real quick. Sorry, real quick. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to blockbusters that we're talking about, there's been whispers, sort of rumors that, you know, the way the Toronto Blue Jays have played, minus Jose Bautista, who hit a home run in a conditioning assignment last night, should be back up here Monday. Can't imagine a scenario where he's not with the club, at least till the end of the season. But is he possibly the most tradable, you know, big name out there? Or is there any chance that he's going to not be on this roster at the end of the year?
I don't think so. You know, I think it's hard to trade a guy, 10 days before the deadline, really, who hasn't played for a while. I think that, in fact, he might be, he might represent the biggest player addition that the Blue Jays have here at the deadline. I'm not expecting a big deadline for them. But, man, when you can add a bat like Jose Bautista, and he's been playing pretty well without him, that's nothing but a positive.
Ben, we got about a minute to go here. Sticking in Los Angeles, Clayton Kershaw could potentially be done for the season, and now there's whispers that they're really interested in Chris Sale out of the White Sox. What do you expect out of the Dodgers during this deadline?
Well, you say if there's one guy who's the most irreplaceable pitcher in baseball, obviously it's Clayton Kershaw. Despite all of their injuries to their staff, you could always say, man, they still have Kershaw, they'll be all right. This is kind of the nightmare scenario for the Dodgers. I don't see a Sale deal happening. I think that the White Sox, despite their struggles, still have that terrific nucleus of Abreu and Sale with some young players around them. They started off well, obviously, have been struggling recently. But, man, you kind of need like a Mike Trout-type deal, like the one that I just mentioned, to add a Sale. You know, if you're going to do that, and you're the Dodgers, why wouldn't you have just paid Zach Greinke last offseason? That's kind of what it comes down to. For me, obviously you can't go back in time, but I don't see that happening. I think the Dodgers are in trouble here for the richest team in baseball. They're only 4.5 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Man, it's tough times there.